This is my second round of sickness. We were worried that coming from the heat, it was the hottest time of Tanzania in December, coming to the coldest time in the U.S., so we were worried about getting the flu, and we've heard it's been really bad here, and sure enough, the day before we left, I started having body aches, and I'm like, man, this is not good. I've got a 20-hour trip ahead of me with two young kids and a pregnant wife. And so, sure enough, the day we left, I started running a fever, and that first flight was, man, it was torture. I didn't want to get on the second flight. I was just going to stay in Europe and until I recovered and then get on a plane and come home. But, you know, after a lot of ibuprofen and some food, got on the second flight, and I'm glad I did. But we got home, and Elizabeth was about 2 days behind me on the sickness, and so she had started having trouble breathing, so we took her to the dock in the box, and she tested positive for flu A, so I'm assuming that's what I had too. So it was pretty bad. It's the first time I've ever had the flu, and it was pretty rough. I think I spent 7 hours on the plane standing up and stretching. People probably thought I was crazy. But anyways, just want to share with you guys tonight just a little bit about life in Tanzania. We moved over there in December of 2017, and we brought in the New Year's jet lagging and in a hotel in a very strange and foreign country. So we stayed there a few days, brought in the new year, and then finally made our way to Morogoro, where we live. And so just to cover kind of some of the things we saw in the video, so we went, when we got there, in January 25th, we started language school, and that was going to last for 4 months. So we went Monday through Friday, 8 to 4, and we had different teachers throughout the four. Every week they would rotate a teacher, so we'd kind of get a different angle. We had some people from some locals there, and then we'd have some people that grew up as a Maasai, the guys that, when you think of Africa, they wear the robes, they have the stick, and they jump really high. We had them teaching us Swahili, which wasn't even there. They learned Swahili teaching American Swahili that were coming over there. And so we got acculturated pretty quick. And during that time, Waits went to, at the language school, there was a daycare. And before we got there, we heard they advertise it as a daycare for kids and for the language school. And we get there, and they act like they didn't know what we were talking about. But it's on their website. And so we get there, and it's just you know, it's like a cage. You know, you open the door and it's dirt, sandbox, and there's about 15 local kids. And what it was a kindergarten for the local kids, but the missionaries' kids that came over there, they could just go there, and they just kind of kept an eye on them, didn't really, you know, just kind of wrangled them in. And so Waits ended up, we were a little worried about it, but he went in, and, man, he jumped right in. He loved it. He was sad when it was over. After the 4 months, he'd come home covered in mud and sand, and, you know, the Lord protected him. I'm not sure. He never really got sick, so the Lord protected him. And then Elizabeth was too young, we decided, to go there. So the Lord brought a lady our way who had helped raise another missionary's daughter. So she stayed at our house. So Elizabeth stayed back at home with this lady who we had just met. And that's a long story, but she survived also and learned a lot of cool stuff being watched by a Tanzanian who didn't speak any English. And so a funny story is I guess it was about 2 months into our language learning, and we came home, and Elizabeth, she was about 16 months, and there was a bug in our house, and she was like, doo-doo, doo-doo. And we're like, that's so cute. She's calling a bug a doo-doo. And No lie, the next day at language school, we learned what the name of a bug was, and it was Mdudu. And we're like, man, she learned quicker than we did. So we survived language school, and we came out speaking like kindergartners and, you know, still walking around town, Google translating. And once we ran out of all our phrases, we'd jet back home. And so after that, we continued language learning with a tutor and for a while, and then we just kind of had to start submersing ourselves. She's not shy. Where was I? Okay. So, yeah, we finished language school and we got submersed. I started starting to work with, y'all know Bob Dodson. He's been here before, Nate's dad. And so we started working side by side and I started taking over more responsibilities throughout the day, helping manage employees and different projects and stuff around the camp. And then Sarah started helping Dee out with kitchen responsibilities and really just trying to learn the ropes and getting acculturated. And, you know, I had a few people ask me when we got back, you know, if you could summarize the first 2 years being there, how would you summarize it? And I was like, man, just God's faithfulness. And he just with our kids, I mean, we took them out of the U.S. and put them in a country that is foreign to them. And they just, I mean, if we could have adapted like they did, they love it there. I mean, they were sad we had to leave and come back home. They were excited to get to see their friends and cousins and stuff, but they truly have just adapted so well. And it's, you know, it would be totally different there if our kids were miserable or, you know, that Lord has taken care of that aspect of it. And then just to brag on Sarah, she's not here, so I won't get any brownie points, but she's just done an amazing job. She has she's homeschooled weights, which if any of you have tried homeschooling, I could not do it, and so I don't force that upon my wife, and so I don't expect her to do anything I wouldn't do, and but she has done that and done it very well, and so. Yeah, we started, we didn't really do much with camps for a while just because it was still just very overwhelming to us to get out in public and knowing that we were going to have to, you know, be the people that look like they don't belong there and, you know, walking around, it's just everybody stares at you. And so we just had not built up that confidence yet. But after a year of being there, we started getting more involved and it was just a true blessing to just get in the middle of those young kids like you saw in the video jumping up and praising the Lord during worship time. And it's just a really cool thing that we've been able to be a part of there in Tanzania. The Dodsons have done a great job building the place up, and the Lord is truly just, his hand is all over it. And it's just one of, there's nine of these camps around the world. So the gospel is being preached around the world, and it's making a huge difference. One of the other pictures you saw where we were in the Philippines. We got to go see the highlands in Philippines and what they were doing and how they get their campers in and how they process them and follow up with them in there. Their discipleship after these camps is just amazing. They've planted, 80 to 90 churches, and these kids that come to these camps know before they leave if they've made a decision to follow Christ, which church they can go to and be discipled for 12 weeks. And within that, they're training to do maybe martial arts or be in the drama. And these kids are being brought back to the camp. So they're coming as lost kids. They're being discipled, and they're coming back and discipling more campers. And so that's what we are working towards starting this year, starting in March, is these small groups at our church in Morogoro, and see if we can get it going and start expanding into our other churches in Tanzania. So I have a little bit I want to share tonight. I'm usually preaching in Swahili, so this is kind of nice being able to use English. And so if you'll turn with me to Romans, if you have your Bible. Romans 1. Romans 1, 16 and 17. Let me pray before we read. Dear Lord, we just love you so much. We thank you for this night, Lord. We just thank you for all who have come. Lord, I pray, we just pray for a blessing tonight, Lord. Lord, we pray that as we read your word, you just give us an illumination, Lord. And just a deeper understanding of who you are, Lord, what you've done for us, Lord, and help us not to be ashamed of the gospel, Lord, and spreading that to the ends of the earth, Lord. Just be with us now as we read your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first, and also to the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." So this is Paul in his letter, and he's greeting the Christians in Rome. He's given thanks to God for them, and he's told them of his desire to come and visit him, to come and visit them. And as he, you know, was praying for that, God, he answered his prayer, but not in a way he thought he would, because he ended up going as a prisoner in chains. And so I just think about, you know, you think about praying, you know, you pray, you want the Lord to use you, but when he answers that prayer and wants to send you to Tanzania, you know, are you going to go? Or if you're going to go to Las Vegas, like Ryan and Kirsten did. And you know, I always prayed that the Lord would, I knew I was called to missions, I just didn't know where, and I didn't want it to be hot. And but I love the mountain. I wanted it to be cold and in the mountains. So he gave me the mountains. He just didn't give me the cold. So but in verses 16 and 17, and having said in 14, I'm under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. So this text here is really a summary of the entire epistle of Romans. You could summarize it in these two verses. And there's a guy named Cicero, a rhetorician, and he said that every speech, every address should have a main point, and that you should be able to distill it all into one crisp point in the whole thing. And you can do that with Romans and just using this text. And that in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And that's what Romans is all about. Just wanted to share four things with y'all tonight of what Paul tells us why he's not ashamed of the gospel. And the first one, he's not ashamed of the gospel because it is the saving power of God. And during this time, Rome was the big powerhouse. They had their construction, their army, their economy. Everything was just the biggest and the best. And Caesar was in control. And when Paul was writing this letter, he specifically wrote, Jesus is Lord. And that was intentional because during this time, you were required to say, Caesar is Lord. And so this was a huge test for Christians back then and not being ashamed of the gospel, because by saying Jesus is Lord, you were going against Caesar and saying that there was something greater than Caesar. And for a lot of people, that was really hard to understand, the people that were reading this, reading this letter. And so the power of the gospel is greater than anything in this world, anything in the universe. It's the only thing that can bring an individual from the road that leads to hell into paradise in heaven with the Lord. And he's not ashamed of the gospel because it's powerful. It's the power of God unto salvation. And it's not a weak thing. And it's the most powerful force in the universe. And, you know, I think a lot of times I know for myself, I'm a big tech guy. So in Tanzania, I get so excited if, like, I find another, the internet and everything over there is just, you never know which one's going to be good. So I've tried them all out. I've tried like 6 different ones. And so when I find a good internet, I'm like, I'm so passionate about it. I just want to go tell everybody. And for those who love sports, you know, you watch SportsCenter, you go the next day, you could tell people about the stats of your favorite team, and you're passionate about it. And Paul is saying that's what we should be with the gospel. We should be passionate about spreading the gospel. And, you know, I'm just as guilty as the next person as not being as passionate as I should be. Secondly, he says he is not ashamed because the gospel has universal significance. He said in this passage, to the Jews first and also to the Greek. So there's, even today, there's conversation about whether they're saying take it to the Jews first and then the Greeks, or whether it came to the Jews and to the Greeks. But regardless, the gospel is for everyone. It doesn't matter who it went to first. And in Acts 9, up until the end, it says to go first to where the Jews were, to the synagogue, to where the God-fearers were gathered together. So that's maybe what he was talking about there. This is the gospel for Mobile County. It's for Las Vegas, in Tanzania. It's for everyone, and it's the only. It is the only way one can find salvation, and that's through the gospel. Young, old, covenant child, economic status, education. It's for the whole world. And you know, you think of people in your life who may be, you know, above you, like a doctor status, but they may not be a believer. You know, I've worked in the hospital before, so all these doctors, you know, it's very intimidating because, you know, I see them as a lot smarter than me, and how do I have something to offer them that they don't already know? And that's just Satan telling us, keeping us from telling them. But it's only if they hear the gospel from us is what will save them. And don't be intimidated by someone's status or what they may know. We have friends in Tanzania, a lot of Muslim friends, and we get to spend a lot of time with them. And they ask us, like, what are y'all doing over there at Highlands? And, you know, that's like a wide open door. And these people are devout. And it's like, I have a really close friend. His name is Yusuf. And all the families live together. And if you come out of Islam into Christianity, it's very shaming. They will cut you off completely. And, you know, me knowing that, I'm nervous. I've shared the gospel with him, but I'm nervous too, because if I share the gospel and the Lord saves this man, and then he's shamed by his family, you know, it's like, am I a homewrecker, you know? But we just have to keep our eyes on the ultimate goal, and that's where he'll end up. But he'll be able to, you know, maybe the Lord will change the hearts of all his family members. And then I have a friend, we have friends that are Hindu, and they just live these lives. It's just work, money. The husbands have multiple wives, girlfriends, and it's really sad. And one of the guys told me one day, he's like, man, he's like, I was talking with my dad, and he was like, you know, we just see you and Bob, and y'all just seem so happy when y'all leave work. Y'all go home and you be with your family, and we go to work and we yell at people, and you know, we're just miserable. And I just want to, you know, take him and be like, you can have this, you know, you can be set free from all these things. And this guy, he's heard the gospel, and you know, Lord willing, the Lord will save him. Save him one day. So thirdly, Paul's not ashamed of the gospel, because the gospel reveals the righteousness of God. Verse 17 says, in it, meaning the gospel, this powerful gospel that's relevant for everyone, in this gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. So what is the righteousness of God? First, it's a characteristic of God. He's righteous. He is faithful to his character. He is absolutely faithful to pursuing his honor and his glory. He is righteous in the way he deals with us. He makes covenants and manifests that righteousness which is his in response to whether we are right related to him in covenant. If we are unrighteousness, he reveals himself as righteousness and judgment. But to those who are rightly related to him in covenant, who have believed on the terms of that covenant, which say, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. God is righteous to that. He holds himself to that. He is faithful to that, that if you believe in Jesus, he will love you and bless you and commune with you and make promises to you. And he is righteous. And fourthly, he is not ashamed, because it is confirmed by the scriptures. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And that's from Habakkuk 2:4. And he's quoting from that, from the Bible of Paul's time in the Old Testament. So this is the gospel from the Old Testament, same gospel in the New Testament. So this is not only for those who believe in the gospel of the New Testament. It's the only way of salvation, and that's in faith in Jesus Christ alone. And that's the gospel. It seems simple when you just kind of break it down and think about it, but living it out and not being ashamed and being able to tell somebody that's even a family. We've had family members that we've shared the gospel with, and it has caused the distance between us, and you know, it hurts when you love that person so much, and you know, you know that it's not you they're rejecting, it's the gospel, and you know, but that's what it takes. It's sacrifice and being willing to go down that road at all cost. And but maybe there's someone here tonight who doesn't know the Lord, and you never know. We had a camp for all of our campers who got saved to come back, and it was like an orientation to come back and volunteer, and we had three of them get saved. And these were ones that had you know, supposedly already made a decision. So if you don't know the Lord as your Lord and Savior tonight, please don't leave here without talking with somebody. The gospel is the only thing that will bring you to a life leading to heaven and not hell. And just think about a time in your life when you heard the gospel for the first time and it changed your life. Where would you be tonight? Where would you have spent your last 5, 10, 15, 50 years? I know I wouldn't be in Tanzania. And so I just want to encourage you tonight to live a life of that you're not ashamed of, and you're not ashamed of the gospel. And pray that the Lord will use you, and that when He uses you, you'll be ready to answer that call and go. And if He calls you to Tanzania, y'all come join us in Tanzania. Vegas, I know Ryan and Kirsten are going to need some help out there. And I just wanted to read. Also, I know you guys have come up with the vision this year for the church about planting 10 new churches. So I wanted to read from Romans 12. Romans 12, 4 through 8. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. In prophecy, in proportion to our faith. In service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So just want to leave you guys with that tonight. Not everybody can go abroad. I mean, praise the Lord if He sent this whole church in it. And it closed down and we all moved overseas or out to Vegas or whatever. But it takes the body of Christ to send people, to support people. There's people that maybe want to just serve in like a short term. And, you know, I thought that's what I always wanted to do. So we just kind of went on these short term mission trips thinking we could stay home. Make money and just take time off and go, and then we would support people doing it. And you know, but the Lord had different plans for us. And so, if the Lord places it on your heart, you know, be willing to step out in faith. We didn't know what moving to Tanzania was going to look like for us. We knew the Lord was calling us there because He opened so many impossible doors. There was no way that He wasn't sending us there. And just in times of being there and being alone and feeling lonely, just one of the blessings that came from that was, you know, our marriage is stronger than ever. And, you know, who would have thought going to Africa it would take that? And he's just been so faithful to us. So I just want to encourage you guys tonight with that. And again, thank you for coming tonight. I know y'all didn't have to come and listen to us speak tonight, but thank you. And for those who support us through the church, please find us if you have been given to us and you haven't heard from us. We get a it comes from Crawford, but it's not broken down. So we have not forgotten about you. We just don't have the details. So please, please, please find us. And if we haven't met you yet, I know there's some new faces. Please come and talk with us if you would like more information about what we're doing and how you can connect with us and follow us through our newsletter. And please do. So, let me pray.